wait a minute, wait a turn, minute. On turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. We talking Scott Catoon.
Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me, Beth Bond.
Hi there, Scott.
You're not the only one in the room. Of course, we've got, I'm going to do it even though you told me not to, Gregory Alfred Stevens.
All right.
And of course, you're the managing director of TechBridge.
Yes, sir.
And then we also have Luis Caicedo.
Caicedo, perfect.
Caicedo, yes, I got it right. And you're one of the co-founders of AOS International. And you guys are based in Bogota.
Yes, we are in Bogota, in Colombia.
All right. So what I want to start, this is going to be an interesting conversation. We're going to be darting all over the place, which is appropriate given we have Greg here. Greg, why don't you grab the mic and just make sure you're a little like...
Sure.
Yep, there you go.
All right.
You are darting all over the place, literally. Every time I see you, it's just sort of like, I just got back from Medellin, I just got back from Colombia, I just got back from here, Brazil, wherever. And I say this to you every time in passing, and finally we set up a meeting and had a conversation a little bit more specifically. When I see you, we always try to do this sort of like quick pass on the bridge and like, hey, what's going on? And you're like, I've got a million things. And we finally had a chance to sit down and talk about everything you're doing. And this is what brought Luis here to the show, is... I personally think Chicago, and Beth, I would love your input on all this stuff, particularly from the community perspective. Mm-hmm. Chicago, as we talked about, Greg, is a place that is literally, for a million reasons, but in particular, all the different businesses around us, built to have international business start in the United States here in Chicago.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that we have missed, despite your flying all over the world constantly, we've missed the opportunity to invest in foreign companies and to bring them here and immerse with them, not just to get them in Chicago, but rather to learn from them. And one of the ways that we sort of talked as a bridge, and we'll bring it up again in this segment, Beth, was to start the first segment of the week. We talked about how Chicago's the mecca for like parking spot, parking hero type things. You got Spot Hero, ParkWiz, Easy. What's the other one I'm missing here? He's going to be mad.
There was the rental car one. What was it called?
ParkX.
That's, oh
yes,
my gosh.
We've got ParkX, right? And so we think of like, this is like the mecca for it. And yet there are companies, and Greg, correct me where it was from, Easy Park is based in.
That's out of Brazil.
Out of Brazil. These are companies that could and should work together, potentially acquire one another, merge, do JV, something to acquire national power. And Greg, if I remember, you said there was something like they have 200,000 parking spots.
That's correct. They have 200,000 parking spots all over the country of Brazil. And important to remember that Brazil is about 210 million people. And in Sao Paulo, for instance, you have about 35 million cars moving at any one time.
So, I mean, the market opportunity is incredible. And what I always, you know, I think this is smart for any business. It doesn't have to just be this. Anytime something big has to start somewhere. And I feel like because the parking thing is an obvious one, and it's a very easy connection, I would love to see Chicago and those from and Easy Park and others start doing business together, because they will trust each other. They'll build a relationship to understand internationally how to work, so that they can focus on other opportunities like AOS International, where we can start talking about the ability for your business to do business here, our businesses to do business there. Greg, you've spoken about this probably everywhere.
Pretty much to anybody that will listen.
Yeah, no, I know literally. And you know, I mean this in the most appropriate sense. The world that we live in today is not the world we're going to live in a decade or two decades. It's going to be a very, very different looking everyone. We're all going to be different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're ignoring that.
Yeah.
So, and it's a huge mistake. Please do. Yeah.
Here's what I'd love to let everybody know that's listening, is the world in the United States as we know it is about to change because of a number of cultural factors. First and foremost is the fact that the majority of children under 9 years old are not Caucasian. So they did a study in National Geographic of what we're going to look like in 30 years, and we're going to look like Brazilians. Second, we're adding...
Which isn't terrible, by the way.
Which is not a bad look.
Very attractive people.
I don't know if anybody's been there, but there's not
very,
a lot of...
Very, very attractive
people.
Individuals
exactly.
In Brazil.
You could do worse. Additionally, we're adding about 7 million non-native Spanish speakers a year. So the conclusion is very easy to reach, that by 2050, we're going to look like Brazilians, and we're going to be the largest Spanish-speaking nation on Earth. So what do we do with that? We need to prepare for that future. Also, we know that our GDP is probably going to arrest, and we have to connect to emerging economies like Brazil.
And that's not your opinion. Was that PwC?
PwC.
Yeah, so this is like a credible source, people.
For anybody that's out there that's a big data nerd, this is your assignment. Is the PricewaterhouseCoopers Global Outlook 2050. It's absolutely fascinating. And so if we're going to continue on to have a very healthy technology economy for Chicago, we really need to connect to these emerging markets. That's been the overall goal. Mm-hmm. So what we found is that a lot of these economies, especially in Latin America, are growing extremely fast, especially the technology economy. Brazil, as an example, is experiencing some of its worst economic conditions in 100 years, and their technology economy is growing 20% year over year. So you're starting to see huge, we're talking about our investments, yep. You have a situation where you have about $2.8 billion worth of seed capital, but almost no institutional series A, B, and C, but they're seeing exits of $100+ million. Wow. And so these markets are really coming up, and they're becoming very good markets. And so as you hit, and you nailed it, Scott, that's the goal, is to not just connect Chicago, to do business in both directions. Yeah. And no real technology ecosystem has come out yet in the United States and said, we are going to put our foot down, and we are going to be the place where you're internationalized into the U.S.
Right.
I totally agree. And before I'm going to segue, I promise, into Luis now, and in a second here, the one thing I want to bring up and then immediately get away from, because I can go off topic in a hurry, is the cryptocurrency thing.
Sure.
I believe in investing in some kind of cryptocurrency, if for no other reason than to just explore and get to understand it mm-hmm. better. Sure. But where I actually believe the real opportunity with cryptocurrency is in doing business overseas, doing business with different people, particularly, and I'm not going to get into the politics, I will leave it to you if you want to, Brazil, where let's just say that there are some differences in the way that business is done, mm-hmm. and there's an inability in current structuring for many of the people doing business in Brazil to put their money in American companies and vice versa, and buy from Brazilian companies and vice versa, using cryptocurrency and bitcoins and things like that as a way for us to actually do business across global lines, yeah. and not be necessarily me as an American be responsible for having to deal with the troubles of Brazil and vice versa, Brazil not having to deal with the bullshit that goes on in right. America. Right. And it's sort of like, to me, that is where my attention is when I see the cryptocurrency stuff. So, you know, I guess from your standpoint, is that something that you see is, do you agree, or do you think, you know, I'm out of my mind?
Yeah, so I agree with the statement in general, and I would say that...
In general, though, not in principle.
Yeah, no, in both. I would say that I think that, especially in Brazil, and actually Luis can speak to this very well, and South America, you have a situation where the regulation for financial institutions is sort of loose, and then you also have a large portion of unbanked and underbanked.
Yep.
And so for them, these solutions are a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So they're going to skip old traditional banking and go directly to disruptive fintech using blockchain, everything else, and crypto, I believe, eventually for payments.
So Luis, I want to slide over to you here on this. We will discuss what AOS International does, I promise. But I would love to get your take on doing business internationally, and sort of like, we can talk about the good things, there are a few, but let's talk first about the things that you think need to change, whether you're the change agent or somebody else is, things that you would like to see changed to make it easier for you to bring your business across, it doesn't have to be America, across global lines. What do you see as the things we need to work on?
Okay, we started 7 years ago going to Central America first. This was our first country, our first experience in doing business out of Colombia. Was a huge experience, and after the experience we were very interested in move to another cities around the world. Last year we took the opportunity to know Greg in Colombia. He was in a meeting with the Ministry of Technology in Colombia, and talking with them we saw an opportunity to cross the border. America is a huge continent. We have been doing business in Ecuador, in Panama, in República Dominicana, in different countries in Latin America. But doing this first step to America is so important for us. Why here? Greg has the answer.
Yes. So moving forward, we decided that Chicago was probably a really good match because of the fact that we have a very large Hispanic population. And so it's a natural fit for companies to come here. I think you've been pleasantly surprised to find that almost a lot of people that you meet in Chicago speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And
a
so
lot.
It made a natural sense. Also, the companies that we work with typically are addressing and dominating a vertical in their home market. And then they go out and cross-pollinate to different ecosystems, either be it Ecuador, Costa Rica, from Colombia, or from the South America into the U.S.
Something you might not know, Greg, about this, and kind of interesting, and why I think it's fun, and why I immediately asked you guys to come on, and come on again and again. Yes. The very first product startup-y thing that I ever worked on was a product called El Pulso.
Okay, sure.
And the entire purpose was we built an app that was essentially a community version of Oi. We felt that Oi was interesting, but it didn't work because it was very, 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 very Spanish only. And if you looked at the population at the time, millennials at the time, most of them did not, they spoke Spanglish. They did not speak traditional Spanish as their ancestors did. They had kind of an abridged version of it. And so why would they read a newspaper that's using words that they don't even know or use? And the context was just not there. They would say mi abuelo or mi abuela, and then it would be like, mi abuela eat eggs. And you're like, what? Yep. Like, it just, it wasn't, you know, and so the content wasn't there. So we, that was the first product I got involved in because I saw the potential of the Spanish speaking population in Chicago and abroad. And then the other little fun fact was the product I was working on, or the project I was working on in grad school to get into the tech community was a company called Big Frame, which is owned by Google. And the entire project that I was set with was to discover how to integrate a U.S.-based YouTube channel with Latin America. And so I literally spent an entire, almost a whole year, just ingraining in all of the statistics and all the different things and opportunities in Latin America, and Medellin in particular, when it came to media, Colombia also obviously as a whole. And so it was like when I came into the tech world and I started talking to people, and I was like, why are we not focused on this gigantically growing population who, quite honestly, have many of the same values that we all have? I mean, it's there. Many of them may be Catholic. Yep. Their education is valuable. The people who they try very, very hard to get their next generation better equipped educationally, financially than the next. They work incredibly hard. It's not necessarily a capitalist society in a general sense or in a political sense, but it is in the sense that, like, you need to work and make your ancestors proud and advance your family and your name. It's very similar, and it's growing like crazy, and yet we just completely neglect it. Yeah. And so I to see this, it's just like amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And something that I think specifically for Colombia is that Colombia and the Midwest actually have like a cultural similarity.
Yeah, very much.
Especially, pardon me, because our friend Luis is in Rolo. Rolo is short for Bogota, so like Chicagoan.
Rolo.
Rolo.
Rolo. Rolo. And a person from Medellin is a paisa.
Paisa. All right.
So
I hope that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it is. It means like paisano, like country.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is that it's very much like the Midwest. It's an agrarian economy, 3 million people, but a big tech hub. What does that sound like?
Sounds like Chicago.
Exactly. And so we have a lot of those similar bridges. So you nail it right on the head. Similar culture, similar hours.
And then I ruined it by being like gringo the shit out of it.
No.
By trying to emulate Rosso or whatever. Like, it's like we're talking about the media. I'm like, I went to Barcelona for spring break. Like, get the hell out of here.
You have to forgive me. I hate it when people say France and you're from Chicago. It's France, man. But, you know, pardon me. The
Freedom fries.
Yeah, exactly. Medellin, but Medellin just sounds so smooth.
It does. If you can say it.
Yes.
If you can say it.
So we have that natural cultural affinity that you hit on. And also right now, there's a lot of really disruptive stuff happening there. Yeah. I mean, you know, IoT, AI, the stuff they're working on is absolutely amazing.
Machine learning, deep learning, all of these technologies we are testing in Colombia.
Let's talk about that. So, so at AOS, talk a little bit about what you guys are working on, because I have a feeling for those of you listening that you're going to go, boy, that sounds awfully familiar. And like, how are you not, like, how are we not investing money in these things? Just blows my mind. So tell us a little bit more about AOS.
We have been working, for example, with blockchain since 2 years ago in our country, doing prototypes for banking, for some institution, for trying to use blockchain and IoT for transportation, for retailers. The technology isn't in our hands. We are not in other world. We are using this kind of technology since many months and many years ago. At this moment, we are trying to innovate and trying to give our customers the opportunity to innovate with this kind of technologies, because in our country, companies see technologies like IoT as for testing, not for real production.
Not for practical use.
In their manufacturings, in their warehouses, in their business. Really is a fear of using this kind of technologies. But really, we are trying to be disruptive in this kind of use of the technology that is in our hands right now. This is the thing that we do, for example, for banking in Colombia. We are trying to move blockchains for use in microloans, trying to resolve a problem to the people who need credit but doesn't have history, because they never access the banking system. They don't have history. It's so difficult to qualify a person when they never have an account, a deposit account or a check account. This is the way that we are trying to move in the social results about the technology is like the things that we are doing right now in our country. But many technologies are disrupting our country, and we are trying to move all these solutions with people who knows this, with people who can be in different projects in Colombia and in Central America. Banking is one of the industry where we are moving during these 16 years of being created in Colombia.
So if I can interject, they have their software in about 80% of the banks in Colombia.
Wow.
And also in Costa Rica and also in Panama as well. So if you're doing middleware, you're dealing with this company.
We were all with the integration problem in the banks. We have been solving problems and moving data or resolving problems in B2B business where banks need to interchange information or move information between other banks. Mm-hmm. This is the things that we do since 16 years old.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing that we have going on here. Is
the
like
fintech explosion.
The fintech explosion, the Akuba of the world, mm-hmm. Chris Rettner, who's been on the show many times, the people who are working on the same thing. And then the other part I don't mean the same thing in the general, like in the actual company, but like the same problems, trying to solve the same problems. And you look at one of the things you brought up, which just, again, back to Chicago, the risk, the fear, the like, we're investing in this technology. But then the actual fear, because they can't use the technology, they're afraid to use it. And so somebody's got to step up. And we're in the exact same thing, which to me, you can still have. I've done a lot of work with companies on the JV side of this, where we can absolutely have you, AOS, be running in Latin America and just dominating, and us have somebody here on this side of the water that's doing. There's water between us, right? Yeah,
there is. There's some water.
Okay, I just want to make sure that
some
I got that right.
Some land,
a little sprinkled in there.
Yeah.
But on this side of things, having the same kind of companies doing the same kind of thing, but together do a JV so that you can bring the business overseas. And unless we have these conversations and bring you guys over here and explore opportunities, it just gets unmissed. And then we get pitted into a position of global domination. You have to buy them out or crush them, or we have to do vice versa. And it's like, you know, we could have made money the whole time, right? Like
we could have made money together.
Absolutely.
The data and analytics that are being generated.
Well, and to riff a little bit more about your question about, blockchain and cryptocurrency is that, I think the most disruptive, I'll shoot my mouth off here and hopefully I'm right about this. We'll maybe talk about this in 3 years. I think that the application that's going to either completely disrupt or kill the banking industry is most likely going to come from Latin America.
I don't doubt that.
Because you have so many unbanked and underbanked.
Yep.
And, you know, Nubank is worth like, I think, $3 billion in Brazil. And so they're disrupting the industry. And so we need to get these people here.
Yeah,
because it maps directly to Chicago. And then we could actually sell our stuff into their growing economies.
My last question for you guys on this is, what do we need? What are the next steps for us to start making these things actually come to fruition? In particular, how do we do it with you at Technori?
There we go. Mm-hmm. So I think that we've reached a critical mass moment in Chicago where we especially realize that it's time for us to focus on the Latin world from a technology connection standpoint. So the next thing that we need to do is to really kind of continue to build consensus, but to more importantly, to bring the companies up here that are disruptive, that have really interesting technologies because of the investment opportunity.
Sure.
Because these companies have trouble raising capital in their home countries. Here's an anecdotal example. We had a company, I can't say the name, they came through our program in Chicago. They were acquired by Blackboard for a good 8-figure sum about 6 months after the program.
Wow.
This company could not raise capital in Colombia because it just didn't exist.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for a small investment, this guy would still be running his own business and it would have sold it for a lot more money.
Yeah.
And so that said, wow, there's a market opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where we want to come in. I mean, we're trying to do that here in Chicago, let alone internationally. So I feel like for us, the more we get comfortable with our investors learning how to snap the fingers and do this that way here, will enable us to do it overseas and bring it full circle. So we got to wrap up because of time here, but I want to thank you, Luis, for taking the time to come in here. I appreciate everything that you guys are doing to make this happen. Greg, of course, thank you for setting this up. And
thank you so much.
I can promise everyone listening that this is not going to be the last conversation we're going to have on this because it's a massive opportunity.
We're totally in agreement and we're ready to come back anytime.
Where do people go to learn more about what you're doing, Greg?
Yeah, so you can go to www.techbridge.us and you can also follow us on articles and on Twitter. It's at Greg Stevens Shy.
Very good. Luis, where do people go to learn more about AOS International?
Oh, our site in AOS, international.us. Also, for our social links inside this URL, we can reach us, and we have a person who will be here living in Chicago for the next months trying to work with Gregory hand to hand.
Very cool.
You can call me Gregorio if you'd like.
From now on, Gregorio is what it is.
It's official. It's official.
It's official. So if you have questions about AOS and how to get involved in this thing, reach out to Gregorio at, what was your Twitter again?
It's at Greg Steven Shy.
Very good. Very cool. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Follow me at Katoon. Follow Beth Bond at
Beth Bond.
Boom. That's a wrap.